One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So there you go, exclusive week on redmentv.com, an interview every day, exclusive interview at that, every day. A little snippet, a little nugget, all building up to the big one. Mr. Blood Red, Chris Pajak sits down with Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp. We got sent the footage last night, and it's boss, like, made up for Chris. Yeah. Not only that, though, James, if you start your subscription now, which is free for your first month and then £5 thereafter, you get access to all the stuff that's already there. There's already an interview with Hendo and Ox on there. The Hendo one we kicked off with today for the exclusive week. There's all sorts of stuff going on, all we've done this week, plus a backlog of other interviews, Kane Dalglish, Jurgen Klopp, you want to get your taste buds going for the new one, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Bruce Grobler, Lucas Leiva, loads more, and, you know, just loads going on.
Absolutely spoiled, and man.
Not only that, they're all downloadable in podcast, James.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, if you're on the go, you're
I think I've just shit myself.
If you're going to work and stuff, you want to listen to it on the go and not use one bit of your data. It's all there.
It's all there, just for whenever
and
you want.
And not only that, James.
Oh, my God.
There's more, mate.
There's more. There's
even more.
Oh, my God.
If you start your subscription now, you get to start the season of all the Redmen content for the Super Cup, the Community Shield, the start of the season. All the build-up stuff that we do, all the post-match stuff we do, tactics, analysis, in-depth talk.
About all this stuff.
It's like just far apart.
And if you don't like it, sack it off.
So,
I mean, that was PR 101. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Should we do some fucking news? Big news, as you probably guessed from the title, it emerged last night from Chris Bascom of The Telegraph that Liverpool are supposedly in line to buy a first team signing this summer, which is interesting because it's on the contrary, because we've heard nothing but we're not buying anyone. But in his piece last night, he did a piece on the Sevilla game, talking about parts of the game, and then towards the end of it, he's talking about Jurgen Klopp needing the big guns back. You know, we need the likes of Salah, we need Mane, we need Alisson, we need Bobby back,
and we haven't quite got there.
So, post-match interview, Klopp said, "We lost 2-1. I hate the fact our situation is difficult because we are missing our attacking line and two midfielders." And then he goes on to say, "Liverpool plan to make a first-team signing in this transfer window, despite Klopp's description of returning players like a new arrivals. Mm-hmm. A little freshening up would be reassuring." James, this is good, isn't it?
Oh, no, this is really good stuff. You know, I think everybody can agree that we want to make signings, we want to make, you know, improvements to the first team, because at the end of the day, yeah, it's okay, all well and good, you know, waiting for the players that you've already got to come back. But, and don't get me wrong, last season was amazing, but you do need to make improvements if you want to keep going up, because I don't want us to have the attitude like, where can we go from here? Like, the only way is down. It's not, let's keep going up, let's keep going. The way you do that is by buying players.
Yeah, and I think it's refreshing for fans to kind of have this little thing to cling on to, because the club are really good at controlling what news they give and what they don't do. And you've got journalists saying, oh, no, that's what they're being told.
Yeah.
They don't know any different. Like, they obviously get a bit of slack for it. But, you know, I think having these, losing to Sevilla and losing to Dortmund, and the big concern is the youngsters, which we talked about yesterday on the Reds transfer roundup, is, you know, are they good enough to bridge that gap? And everyone's clamouring for that Premier League. We want to add that extra bit of quality. And we know if the players are out there, we might go for them. One of which, another tedious link, is Nicolas Pepe. I'll just zoom in a bit there. The future of Liverpool, Nicolas Pepe, is soon to become apparent, according to League One club president. The Ivory Coast forward Pepe is one of the most discussed names in the transfer window after scoring 23 goals in 41 appearances last season, his second since joining the club from Angers. The 24-year-old strongly linked with the move to Liverpool. And this is the kind of sign that I think a lot of Liverpool fans are like. I think this is probably him, Bruno Fernandes, someone else we'll come on to in a minute, who's gone to a different club. Uh-huh. Thank God. But, you know, this is kind of that backup for the front three. I think, you know, I know you're an advocate of Sadio Mane.
No,
you're one of his biggest fans. But another story we'll come to in a minute. They've played a lot of football.
Yeah.
And we've been dead lucky they haven't got any injuries. So to hear the likes of his name being mentioned and kind of adding that quality without having a massive drop-off is reassuring.
Definitely, you know, to bring in someone like Nicolas Pepe would absolutely just reassure that front line and do it wonders, because, you know, it's always the best option is when you don't know who you should start. And if Pepe comes into the team And he says, listen, I feel like I'm just as good as Salah and Mane. Listen, I don't know if he will be, but if he comes in and he makes that statement, it gives Klopp a really good headache to have. And I think that's the best situation to be in, because let's rewind to last season when you're in a position like let Barcelona in the second leg, even though we won it, of course. But I mean, it'd be nice to know you've got a Pepe to come in, yeah, if someone like Salah isn't free or whatever. You know, I think, you look at the numbers as well, 23 goals in 41 appearances, regardless of the league itself. You know, he's not playing for PSG, he's playing, you know, for a team that has to compete and has to really try the best, and them numbers are amazing, man. And this is a signing that I favour. This is one that I would really like to see happen, for sure.
Good, let us know your thoughts in the comments below. Yeah. This is Nicolas Pepe, however you pronounce it. Is he the one that Liverpool should be going for or not? Next story, which I kind of touched on there, Jurgen Klopp spoke about, again, Chris Bascom, about the fixture list and the fixture schedule, and Klopp saying it's unacceptable. Now, initially, this is kind of started off talking about the FIFA World Cup Championships, which Liverpool will be involved in.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought, you know, you're talking about this, like you've won the Champions League, this is part and parcel of what's going on. But he goes on to kind of talk about, you know, the fact that we mentioned Sadio Mane has had a long season. So he says,
yeah,
we sit here and it sounds like I'm having a moan or whatever. It's just a situation. In the long term, it's not acceptable. It looks like nobody can imagine a week without football in a year. When did that happen? A game again and again and again.
Yeah.
And it turns out that he's actually, in fact, talking about the UEFA Nations League and stuff like that, which is, in my opinion, just glorified friendlies. And because those pretty international much teams now feel pressured to play the big stars, they're not getting the rest. So you think, you know, they had the World Cup, and then they had the Premier League season, or whatever the respective leagues they were in. And then it was the UEFA Nations League straight after that, our players particularly come off the back of the Champions Leagues. So Mane's had the AFCON, and he's having his 3-week break, and he's back into the Premier League. And we're soon into playing 2-3 games a week, James. And you can kind of see where he's coming from.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And, you know, when you're talking about it, you know, players like Mane, you do need to break, just, you know, you need to give your body that rest. And you know,
mental break?
Yeah, a mental break, more importantly, because, you know, you're training every week of the year. You know, Klopp said it, it's high intense training. Near enough every day, every week for 52 weeks a year, whatever, you know what I mean? He does need a little break, and he does need a rest, and I feel every player needs that kind of rest. You know, Salah and, you know, Firmino, Alisson, they're all getting their rest. I think it is good for Mane, and give someone else a chance for the beginning of the season, let them shine, someone like Divock Origi, you know what I mean? You can't just trust them in two of your biggest games last season and then, you know, not give him a little chance. It'd be nice for him to get a chance and Mane to sit off for the start, at least.
But it also argues your point before of saying getting like a Nicolas Pepe come in.
Very true.
You know, you can have him play the first 3-4 games of the season, knowing full well he's a quality player.
Of course.
And Sadio gets his first rest,
of course,
back, and then he's back.
If Pepe comes in, don't get me wrong, if Pepe comes in, that's the person who I would want to see start in those games. I'm just saying, if this signing isn't made, or if any signing of that quality in that position isn't made by the City game or the first game of the Premier League season, then it would be a good chance to see someone like Divock Origi come in and try and, you know, mark the stance.
But it's also a massive loss to lose the best player in the world, wouldn't it, James?
Ah, yeah, but Origi's up there now as well. Yeah,
you're a fan of Lord Divock?
Yeah, of course I am. He isn't a big fan of Divock, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Everyone loves him.
Right, next story then. Virgil van Dijk has spoken about winning. His dream would be a dream come true if he won the Ballon d'Or. This is from Goal.com. He admits winning the Ballon d'Or, dream come true after an exceptional season with Liverpool and the Netherlands. Let's go and find his quote. If people are talking about it, you can't say it doesn't excite you, he told Sky Sports. Mm-hmm. But it's a subject we don't have any influence on. I can't change anything right now other than stay and get fit. And that's the situation. Winning something like that is a dream come true for every footballer in the world. If you don't need, just get on with it. You tried to perform better than last year. It will be fantastic, and I would be very proud. But the main thing is to focus on is what we all do together and achieving a bigger goal. That's getting silverware with the club. I love that, James. That last bit. And I know that's kind of like what boring footballers say. Going, you know, you scored 96 goals in this game. It's about the team.
Yeah.
And you go, you know, mate, go on, you're boss.
You're a really good player and you want to just talk about that. But Virgil van Dijk, you know, he's so professional and, you know, he will just say it how it is, essentially. And he does want club success, and this would just kind of be like a cherry on top, because I'm sure if you'd ask them, okay, what would you rather win this season, the Champions League again or the Ballon d'Or, he'd say the Champions League in a heartbeat and take away that Ballon d'Or. It, like I said, it's just the icing on the cake for me. And I think it would be for him if he did win the Ballon d'Or. Don't get me wrong, I'd absolutely love it. And I think he deserves it, you know what I mean? He's came in, he's reshaped our team. And when he comes out with stuff like this, you just love him even more, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think the icing on the cake's a little even more sweeter for the fact that he's a defender. So obviously yeah. Fabio Cannavaro was the last one to win it. I think it was probably like 2006, I think you might have said in the article there. You know, for a defender to win that, that's even more special because, like, you think, you know, it's been between Ronaldo and Messi.
Ronaldo and Messi, and then, you know, you've got the other players who were in and around, but you wouldn't expect someone like that. If you told me when Van Dijk signs, he'll be in contention for a Ballon d'Or in a year and a half or 2 years' time.
Yeah, you'd laugh to me face.
You would have, 100%.
Quickly on this story, okay. Right? Fekir's gone to a different club, James.
Hey! Come here, baby!
Talking about him. Yeah, Real Betis tweeted imperfect medical condition.
Nah.
I mean, nah. I'd check his knees. Yeah. I'd be double checking them. I'd be like, get insurance
check
on their knees.
Everywhere,
should we move on?
Yeah, let's go. Let's have a take. Just think of all these months and years we've been talking about this player, and I'll never have to talk about him again.
Until January.
When he has a bad first half of season.
And he's worth £5 million.
£5 million from Nabil Fekir.
Someone else that we spoke about on Red's transfer roundup yesterday, James, and you and Jack got into a bit of a debate about this.
Yeah, we did.
Gareth Bale. Well, Paul Lynch has weighed in on the argument as well. He has to go to a team who can win things, Liverpool or European champions. So basically, Paul Ince is saying that Gareth Bale should go to Liverpool club and that he's a perfect fit. Obviously, Zidane came out and made some comments the other day about he's the quicker he goes, the better. I don't think he more or less said it's just terrible. For the viewers that haven't seen the Reds transfer roundup, James, you should do with your 3 month subscription if you sign out. Yay or nay?
A big fat nay, Ross.
Well, bye, mate.
I'm just not into it. Listen, yeah, right. This is the point that I made yesterday, and it was simply that Bale is a very good footballer. He's won 13 trophies with Real Madrid, and he's
14.
Was it 14? Yeah. Sorry, my bad. 14 trophies with Real Madrid. The thing that I saw said, I think he was a part of 13 of them.
Okay.
So like he was involved in 13.
I saw a comparison with him and Zidane.
Yeah, so 30.
We're both right.
Yeah, we're both right in our own ways. Anyway, long story short, he's 30. He's going to want a lot of money. I don't want to put us in a position that Man United got themselves into with Alexis Sanchez. Yes, he's Premier League proven. Yes, he is a very good player. But I'm very happy with the wingers we've got at the moment. I want to see us just advance a bit more, maybe by someone like Nicolas Pepe, you know, bringing a bit of new life into the team. Gareth Bale, you know, if this was a year or two ago, then perfect, but right now, I'm just not into it.
No.
Myself.
No. Oh, no, Mithy, let us know in the comments below what you think. You're all about Gareth Bale. The latest rumour that I saw, I say rumour, it was a tweet, was there was a Chinese club offering £1 million a week. I mean, it's just fucking mad, isn't
not
it?
Into it?
Right, final story, speaking of money. Liverpool Football Club are dead rich, James. Dead rich. They've been named in Forbes magazine 50 most valuable sports teams. For 2019. So since FSG came and bought the club in 2010, their Reds value has steadily increased from $552 million, mm-hmm. that's £437 million in real money, to an astronomical $2.18 billion, that's $1.73 billion in 2019. I mean, that to me just went like, you know, there's loads of transfer money there, but it's actually it's the value of the club, and you know I think they reached up to, I think it's 45th. There you go, 45th in the world. I mean, that's incredible. That's an incredible gap to close in what 8 years or 9 years even.
Yeah,
I can't see many
other teams as well. That's done much better transfer business than we have. You know, examples: Benteke, bought him for 28 million, sold him for 30. Dom Solanke as well. He was another one. Karius, one of our worst signings in recent years, only bought him for 4 million.
Kevin Stewart for me.
Kevin Stewart, basically a swap deal for Robertson. Yeah. Pretty much.
Have you heard of him since?
Is he still playing?
Have you heard of Andy Robertson since?
I haven't stopped hearing about him since Ross, do you know what I mean? But no, I just think in terms of business, from a business aspect, FSG do nail it down to a team.
It's the stuff off the field as well. It's not just the transfers, so it's the sponsorship deals and the money and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm absolutely made up with that. It's really good news.
A really good stat to hear that, to be fair.
Yeah, good,
it really
it?
Is.
Yeah, it's good news day. Comments, Tom?
We'll kick it off. John Cable says, people saying we are not going to sign anyone, you don't know that. Only Klopp and Edwards know what's really going on, and just like Fabinho, a signing or two could come out of nowhere.
Yeah, and this is something that me and Tom spoke about yesterday, because someone actually wrote a piece regarding that and how like the kind of local journalists are kind of, they're not shut off, but they're told by Liverpool, and we know they get fed pieces and stuff. Whereas last season, like some of the Fabinho stuff and the other transfers that we made, they're all coming from journalists from France or Italy or Germany, because like, you know, they aren't controlled about it, and they know people from different regions and stuff. So, I mean, I said this as as a fan, I'd rather have the Fabinho situation.
Yeah.
But obviously, working in this industry that we do is dead annoying with like when we want transfer news about doing stuff. But I mean, which way would you rather have it, James? Would you rather have like a just breaking news? We signed someone great.
I love the breaking news. Like that Fabinho one for me last year. What was I doing? I was in my living room and then I think I was watching SpongeBob. Don't ask why I was watching SpongeBob, but I was watching SpongeBob or something like that. Yeah. Still a great show, by the way. Anyway, and then next thing you know, go on my phone. Fabinho signed for Liverpool, and I just thought this is just not true because I've not heard anything about this and it's just clickbait. Went on it and he's fully signed for Liverpool. I love that though, just quick and easy business, and that's the best way to do it in my opinion.
Next one.
Mace Windex, which I guess is a joke on someone. For a defender to win the Ballon d'Or, they have to be extra special. They usually give it to the flashy players.
Yeah, that's what I was saying before. It's special for a defender to win it, because obviously Cannavaro was the last one, and then you've had Messi and Ronaldo been banging in 30, 40, 50, 90 goals a season or whatever, and you're trying to compete with that. It's really good that, you know, whoever's in charge, they're recognising a defender and the quality. And as you touched on before, you know, the difference that he's made to this back line. Like, we had the best defensive record in the league last season. Maybe we lost one game in the Premier League. All right, yeah, we didn't win it. But do you know what I mean? It's still impressive, isn't it?
I know. I mean, I suppose when you look at it, like, from Messi's point of view, like, if you put Messi out of a Barcelona team, would they be worse? Yes, they would. And it's the same for us. But I just feel Barcelona would still be able to score goals. Like, I know this doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, but in my opinion, I think if you take Messi out of Barcelona, yes, they're not as good, but they can still score a lot of goals with the players that they've got and can still purchase. And then if you take Van Dijk out of our team, however, I feel that's a lot more goals that go in, and I feel it's a lot more influential in a negative way.
My arse just went you saying that, to be fair. Yeah,
exactly.
Last question. DSXH Tempers with a green super chat. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
He says, think the perfect move for Bale is Man United or China if he just wants to sit on the bench and collect money. Love the vids, boys. Thank you.
Thank you, mate. I said this yesterday. He's got Man United written all over it. That big name. They need an attacking player, a winger. Yeah, he's of good quality. Well, great quality. World class. You know, the stuff that he's done. Some of the games that he's kind of... Some of the goals that he scored in the big games. He's a big game player as well, and United need that. And you're just thinking, like, the incentives that Liverpool have been giving out to their players recently, you know, you think of the front three that signed new contracts, Van Dijk, or the rumours he's doing one, Trent, have gone, actually, you've been boss, here's an even better contract.
Yeah.
Thanks for all you've done. To bring someone in going, even I think Jack mentioned he was going to take 50% wage cut, which would still put him ahead of most of our team.
Yeah,
and if you're one of our players, going, I'm not into that. And like you said, he's 30 years old.
What perspectives does that give for young players as well? If you're just bringing in big name players, like, don't get me wrong, obviously you want to be competing with Real Madrid and stuff, but at the end of the day, I do want to see a bit of new life into the team. You know, I saw what Gareth Bale can do. He's a good player, but I've also saw his flaws, and I don't want that to be brought into our club.
Just, and he broke your heart, didn't he?
He really did break my heart, yeah. So, for another reason, fuck him.
So there you go, you're watching They Broke James's Heart. That's it for today. Thank you for watching. Don't forget, go and subscribe to RedmenTV.com. Go and watch that Jordan Henson interview and all the backlog stuff is there. Every day this week, we'll have an interview for you, building up to the big one, which I already mentioned. Jurgen Klopp and Mr. Chris Pajak.
Oh my God. I'm so happy for Chris as well. I'm so jealous of him, man.
Thank you very much. Ta-ra.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.